the public, sufficient for the luxury and convenience of the people in just present.
Jeffries Show.
And welcome to the Donald Jeffries Show. I'm Donald Jeffries. We're going to talk to someone today who I greatly admire, a very courageous figure, award-winning filmmaker, writer, and investigative journalist Bart Sabrell. You probably know him from his videos online that were very popular. Funny Thing Happened on the Way to the Moon. And The Astronauts Gone Wild, which is just, you can watch that. It's that's the one where Buzz Aldrin punched him, so you probably know him for that. But he has a background in the media. He worked for all the television networks, ABC, NBC, CBS. Just a real journalist, and there aren't too many of them around today. And he's going to talk about his new book, Moon Man, The True Story of a Filmmaker on the CIA Hit List. Bart Sabrell, welcome to the show.
Well, glad to be here, Don.
Well, I'm glad to talk to you, and I'm glad to make your acquaintance, and I want to thank our mutual friend Bob Wilson for bringing us together. He has an eclectic list of acquaintances, including you, so I'm very glad he hooked this up, because I admired your work for a long time and said I watched Astronauts Gone Wild many times. The Funny Thing Happened on the Moon as well, too. But your new book is fascinating, Moon Man. So we're going to get in, talk about that a lot. But to start, how did you go from, I assume maybe you did some fairly mainstream work in the media before that. How did you, I ask all these people that eventually go down this wayward path that I'm at, how did you start, investigating the Apollo program? What caused you to start doubting it?
Well, I was only 4 when they allegedly walked on the moon, and my dad was in the United States Air Force, and I got like a packet of publicity of great 9x12 color prints, and I thought it was the greatest thing. I was a big fan, had those pictures up there for 10 years, age 4 to 14. I guess that's watching them about 3,650 times, seeing those same pictures over and over again. And then when I was 14, I saw Bill Kaysing on a television program saying he worked for NASA during the Apollo program 6 years and never happened. I'm thinking, oh, that's interesting. Mm-hmm. So I go back to the pictures on the wall, and sure enough, hidden in plain sight, eyes wide shut. You could see, like, the back then, the original pictures, the sand was brown, and the background sand was bluish gray. That was a major problem, because the early prints that I have, I mean, you could tell the line between the real moon and the fake background pretty easily. And so that kind of planted a seed in my mind. So fast forward another 10 years, I'm 24, I'm a filmmaker, and I am editing for the man who produced that program 10 years earlier with Bill Kaysing on it. So he put us in touch with one another. Bill suggested I do a documentary about it, and I originally turned it down because I figured, there was a decent 1 out of 4 chance they faked it, which is pretty strong. I like puzzles. I'm relentless. If I start looking into this, it could be hazardous to my health, so I turned it down. Another 5 years go by. I started reading the Bible. Got a 1-year Bible, I read it 5 times in a row, and I thought, well, there is a God, there is a right and wrong, and there is a judgment to come. If they didn't go to the moon, that would be more profound than if they'd actually gone, more profound historically to have faked it than have actually gone. And if that's true, I said, this is important, it's worth dying for, I'm going to die anyway, might as well die for a noble cause. So I called Bill back, said I changed my mind. And my prime investor, okay, for this $1 million project is an anonymous millionaire who is a board member of an aerospace company building rockets for NASA, who knows from an engineering point of view we didn't go to the moon, and he felt it was his patriotic duty to, support these films. And then so, a funny thing is the first film took me 7 years. Halfway into that, I find this footage that proves they never left Earth orbit. They're faking a shot right in front of your eyes with the CIA on a private channel audio telling them how to do it. The thing says, don't show to the public in the first frame. And they're like, oh, this should be good. And it's the only unedited reel. And they're They're doing outtakes of a special effects shot. And so we have them photographically faking a scene of the moon landing right in front of your eyes. The CIA telling them how to fake it is on the audio. We have CIA threats recorded on audio by an astronaut in the sun talking about calling the CIA to have me assassinated, which wouldn't be necessary if they really went to the moon.
Right.
And lo and behold, the book releases for the first time the actual code name of the real Apollo program, the military base, the name of it, where it was filmed here in the United States, the dates it was filmed, 15 eyewitnesses, the names of 15 people who were there personally eyewitnessing it, including President Johnson himself. And this information came by way of the deathbed confession of the chief of security, MP military police at this particular base at that time.
Wow. That's before we get to your story, I want to just a few tidbits from Bill Kaysing, who wrote the book We Never Went to the Moon. And that's the first time I heard about it. And I, as I said, I think I was one of the first ones to order it. I was already on every list there was, a subversive list back then, even as a very young guy. But what I found really interesting, I'd heard a little bit about it, but you go into the book, before we get to you, Kaysing had contacted astronaut James Irwin, who was one of the astronauts to walk on the moon, supposedly. And he was apparently the only one that was a bit recalcitrant about it. And he was, to tell the story, that he was scheduled to meet with Kaysing and then he dies. I mean, you know, typical conspiratorial stuff.
Well, basically, you can imagine my surprise if I say, oh, excuse me, let me take this call. In fact, I forgot to turn my ringer off. There we go. But imagine it's Buzz Aldrin calling me, right?
Yeah.
You know, rather than me tracking them down. Imagine if I got a call, one of the lead investigators into the fraud from one of the, you know, faking astronauts. Well, right. Imagine my shock if they called me. So that happened to Bill Kaysing. He was on Oprah. He was publishing books about the moon landings being fake from firsthand experience. And James Irwin calls him up and says, we need to have a serious talk about your book. And he explained the reason why he contacted him was because he had just become a born-again Christian. And he said, I'm concerned for my safety. Call me at this number 3 days from now. Coincidentally, on that third day, the astronaut had a fatal heart attack. So, you know, that you know, going into it.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then the Apollo 1 fire, that whole thing I talked
Absolutely.
About, Christmas. You know, unfortunately, that, and I'm not saying it. The dead man's family is saying it. They're
yes.
saying, they say, without a doubt, 100% certain, the fire that killed what would have been the crew to walk on the moon first, the fire was set intentionally, the CIA is involved.
Yeah.
The dead man himself told his wife the day before, something strange is going on. The CIA is all over the launch pad. The CIA is all over the launch pad for the first time, and the very next day, three people die.
How about that? Yeah, and how is that not a big... I mean, I first learned about that on that uncharacteristically good Fox News special back probably early 2000s. We, you know, but did we go to the moon or something? And they interviewed Grissom's wife, who was still alive at the time, and I think one of his sons, but... I thought, you know, how is this not, you know, again, this, I don't know why I'm so naive, but I mean, this shows what kind of media we have. That's not a news story for the New York Times and 60 Minutes to tackle, that, you know, the guy who was scheduled to be the first man to walk on the moon, not Neil Armstrong, Gus Grissom, he was died and his family is alleging he was murdered by NASA. I mean, that's a huge story.
Well, it's actually huger, if you can imagine such a thing, which is because... I talk about this in the second to the last chapter of the book. The number one reason why the government is so adamant about defending the moon landing, the faking thereof. They'll go to enormous lengths. They have PR campaigns. They can't ever give it up. Because if the truth comes out that the moon landings were fake, the very next question people are going to ask is, okay, Bart has over here evidence that the moon landings are fake, and the Grissom family has evidence that the CIA set the fire at NASA that killed their husband and father. Do you think the two events are related. Of course they're related. So let's just say they faked the moon landing. Not a single person was killed. Maybe the truth would have come out. Who knows? But it wouldn't matter. Not nearly as much if it is also proven that they deliberately murdered their own hero astronauts for criticizing the program and refusing to participate in the fraud, which is the only conclusion that can be made. If they have proof, and I talked to Betty Grissom for hours, talked to her son for hours, they know for a fact it was set deliberately by the CIA, and I know for a fact the moon landings were faked. Do you think the two events are related? Of course they're related. So that's the biggest thing. If the public knew it was fake, it killed nobody, oh, terrible thing. But if they knew it was fake and they murdered the men that would have been the first men on the moon to keep it a secret, they killed their own employees when the first document of our country says the right to life, and the government took the life away. Like, I think the British killed five people, maybe, before we rebelled. You know, maybe it was three.
Yeah, well,
you know, and now the government has gotten to such a point where they're murdering their own employees to keep their crimes a secret. We need a completely new government from scratch. We can't.
Well, and this would,
you know,
this would
I mean?
Be, yeah, certainly. You know, I believe that, but certainly this would be one of the biggest eye openers of all, because this was the, and that's what I love how you tell. I used to say to people about Neil Armstrong that this guy's basically Christopher Columbus. Well, Christopher Columbus has been canceled now, I guess, but as Christopher Columbus used to be, you know, times, you know, infinity, because this was the guy. It's the greatest accomplishment in the history of the world. We went to the moon. He was the first man to step on the moon. One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind, the words and everything. As a little kid, you know, I was thrilled with it, although I still remember at the time being kind of disappointed in the way the grainy TV footage was. But I didn't understand that. But you, some things I didn't really realize. I didn't realize, for instance, that Neil Armstrong, I always found his behavior odd, obviously, the way he didn't seem to want to talk about this great accomplishment. But there are no pictures of him on the moon. All the pictures that were taken, or he taking of it, a Buzz Aldrin. But as you point out, and one of the many with you, people that talk about, you know, what were they carrying on this magical flight? And, you know, there was no room for error, apparently. Wouldn't they have had a backup camera or something in case, you know, maybe something went wrong with that? You don't want to miss out on this opportunity. But talk about that. I mean, how can people believe? Why wouldn't there be? And but people think there are photographs of him, but none of those photos are of him.
Well, let me tell you, I personally went to the archives, the NASA archives, personally went there. And it seems like there's about three people handling the archives there at the time. And I said, I would like a still picture. And they're supposed to have every picture from Apollo 11 there. I'd like a still picture, please, of Neil Armstrong's, you know, the first man on the moon. Sure, you've heard of him. Standing on the moon. Just one picture. They couldn't find a single one. They come back scratching their heads. They go in. They look again. Come back scratching their heads, shaking their head. They go in again. Come back out. They can't understand why there's not a picture of Neil Armstrong on the moon. First man on the moon. There's not a single still picture. Now, there's a TV image, which I think was not actually him. Black and white. Face is not shown. There's an automatic motion picture camera on the side of the lunar module showing, like, you know, slow, kind of, I don't know, multiple still pictures back to back. And there's a figure walking around, probably not him. And then that's it. They've mislabeled some. Occasionally they'll say, oh, here's one of Neil Armstrong, but it's a physical impossibility because Buzz Aldrin had the camera locked to his vest. Now, you know, you've never been to the moon before, micro radiation, gamma rays, hot, 500 degrees, minus 500 degrees the other way. And greatest event in human history, the thing, he drops the thing. Boy, that'd be terrible. Maybe we should give Neil Armstrong a camera. I don't know. $200 billion, we'll need another 20. I'm sure if we can afford that. But, you know, of course. The guy didn't want any, I don't think it was legal, although it's relevant now. I think it was moral. He didn't want any moral responsibility. I suspect they threatened the life of his family, because I don't think he would have cooperated. I think at that time he had a good character, and I don't think he would have said, I'll pass. But he couldn't resign in front of the world. So right, exactly. They probably turned up the heat, threatened his family or something.
Well, and, it was, and then as you point out, and others have pointed out as well, that and people need to just consider the science. You know, of course, we're hearing the science now that's very, very dubious, but the science then held that the technology, just try to consider how they dealt with those kind of temperatures on the surface of the moon, which would get, you know, hundreds of degrees above zero, and then if you go in the shade, it's hundreds of degrees below zero. What kind of magical heating cooling system did they have? As you point out, what kind of batteries could they possibly have had that ran? They would have had to have nonstop air conditioning in that heat for 3 days or whatever. I mean, how can people not question that?
Well, one of the reasons why they can't question that is they destroyed all the blueprints and electronic schematics and yes. the hardware and the original videotapes and the original rocket telemetry of the locations. They got rid of all that stuff. Now, imagine Bill Gates. He spends $200 billion to make the first supercomputer. It works great. Fantastic. Good job. Now, let's throw it all in a furnace along with these schematics and blueprints. Would anyone do that? The only technology they should have gotten rid of was the atomic bomb, and they didn't even do that. And 10 years later, it's 1,000 times more powerful. So if they could go to the moon, with 1/1,000,000th the computing power of a cell phone in all of NASA, mm-hmm. on the first attempt with 1960s technology, people would have been on Mars 10 years later. We'd be in another solar system Absolutely. By now, and there'd be bases all over the moon. Here's their claim. Today, they can only travel with people 1,000th the distance to the moon. So how could they go 1,000 times farther with 5 decades older equipment than had ever been used before in the first attempt? Yeah. The South Pole and the North Pole took 12 tries before people did it, and that's here on Earth. Exactly. It took Elon Musk 5 or 6 tries to land a rocket vertically with the fastest multiple synchronized computers trying to help him do so.
And how about that phone call from Nixon? How about that live phone call from the White House? Exactly what kind of technology could possibly have existed? I mean, that's a hell of a landline. That's quite a distance there. I mean, did anybody question that?
Well, actually, it was 6G. We'll get in about 5 more years. Yeah.
I mean, but they actually did that, and people bought it. I mean, I did at the time as a little kid, but of course I was a little kid. But I can't believe any adult didn't say, wait a minute.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it's like saying, Don, 50 years ago, Toyota made a car, 50 years ago, that could travel 50,000 miles on 1 gallon of gasoline. But darn, today, with 5 decades of better computer fuel technology, they can only travel 1,000th the distance on a gallon of gas. Would you believe the original claim? Of course not. Yes, but that's what they're saying. They're saying they went 1,000 times farther than NASA can send people today with 5 decades older technology.
Right. And it got actually more ridiculous as the flights went on. I guess it was it 16 and 17, the last two, or maybe the last one, that had the dune buggy. And people, you know, immediately said, wait a minute, how did that fit in that little craft? How did
that's why Apollo 18 was canceled. You know, they wanted to brag. They played golf to show his yes. they could drive cars. Apollo 18 was going to have a basketball team. And so, you know, they figured we better not push our luck.
You've heard their explanation that the reason they could fit that dune buggy in there is because it folded up like the Jetsons car. And my question has been, so you had that technology to fold up a vehicle like that in 1971 or 2 or whatever it was, and what happened to it? I mean, I haven't seen any folding cars on Earth here. You know, I mean, this is amazing to think that they have. I mean, they must have just watched the Jetsons or something, but that's the excuses they give, and you're supposed to believe that kind of science? It's completely illogical.
Yeah, and then you have NASA occasionally making accidentally truthful statements. A couple of space astronauts in Earth orbit, you know, said eventually we hope to go to the moon. Then you have Kelly Smith of the Orion project that was supposed to have an unmanned vehicle orbiting the Earth in 2018. That never happened either, right? And then he says he's talking about the radiation. Good for him. And a lot of people don't know it. There's a huge radiation field above the Earth. Every space mission, including today, the space station, it's well below that.
Yeah.
except you'd have to go through it to the moon and back, which would be probably be very dangerous. And so the guy even says, basically, the technology to travel through that region of space has yet to be invented. Well, I'm thinking, well, then how did the Apollo astronauts do it? Which is interesting. The part of the mission that they're faking that we have unedited footage of is them faking being halfway to the moon, which means they can't go halfway. They can't leave Earth orbit then, and they can't leave Earth orbit now. So how could they possibly? So the guy admits it's too radioactive to go through. And then I'm thinking, oops. And then how did they go to the moon? So I call up NASA. I'm a journalist. I say, hey, let me talk to this guy. I said, I don't give interviews anymore, and after he put his foot in his mouth there. I said, oh, okay. Well, you sent up the whole mission that they sent up. They sent up a spacecraft unmanned, 3,500 miles, and it's kind of basically in the middle of the radiation. And they had two Geiger counters on board. They send the thing back. I say, hey, could I please have those Geiger counter readings? They said, I'm sorry, it's a classified secret. And I said, oh, okay, if you can explain this to me, NASA being an alleged civilian agency, all this is funded by the government, all the records are open. When you sent a probe to the sun to measure how much helium was in the atmosphere, that was publicly available information. When you sent a probe to Jupiter to see how much, you know, hydrogen's in the air, that was publicly available. These are just, you know, readings of nature. How strong is the radiation belt surrounding the Earth? Why would that possibly be classified? Because if they told you, it would prove the impossibility of being able to go through it. And so we have a lot of documentation from the 50s about this, how they set up Geiger counters and they broke because the needle broke. It was vibrating so much. The guy says, you know, 2 years ago, the radiation cannot be penetrated until we develop the technology to do it. And eventually it's like time and time goes on. This is the only time in world history technology went backwards. You know, they could do something 50 years ago they can't do today. You know, which it's impossible for technology to go backwards. So therefore, what does it mean? It means they faked the thing. I'm sorry. I could prove it with one picture if this weren't radio. You know, two shadows intersecting at 90 degrees. From two Absolutely. Objects that are like 5 feet apart from one another, when sunlight always casts parallel shadows.
Well,
so
I don't know if you've read Wagging the Moon Doggy, the great series by the late Dave McGowan online. Really, really good stuff. But Dave McGowan talked before he died, and of course he died before the 50th anniversary. But he mentioned, and I've always wondered about that. You know, at what point does the public start to question? I mean, they didn't question it when it's 50 years. I mean, 50-year anniversary, and I'm sure you noticed it. They didn't pay a whole lot of attention to the man's greatest accomplishment because I think, again, they didn't want to go there because they know so many people are skeptical. And, you know, frankly, it's just more and more ridiculous to keep talking about it when they tell you, a few years ago, well, we don't have the technology to go to the moon anymore. We lost it. It's like, what? But, I mean, at what point? I mean, if they come up to 100th anniversary and we still haven't been back to the moon, which I think is probably possible, will the people ever question? I mean, this is, as you said, technology doesn't go backwards. This is completely ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, the longer it goes on, the harder it is to prove. Whenever they do, you know, one of these stories, not about the real possibility that the moon landings are fake, but isn't it interesting? A certain, you know, small group thinks that. They quote a survey from more than two decades ago because the current survey is up to 25% mm-hmm. of Americans doubt it. 75% doubt that Oswald killed Kennedy. 50% doubt the story of 9/11. 25% are so crazy they say the moon landings are fake. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's why during current events, because we've got to be careful what we can say. I don't know, can they take down live radio? Well, there's a 10-second delay, so I guess they can. But the current event, which I think is being falsified, but there's two claims. One is that it originated here, and the other is, okay, I'm going to let you in on a little secret. It originated here, so be very careful. That's made up, too, because 25% of the population already doubts the authenticity of the moon landings, and it's even greater worldwide. So you got to have one lie for whatever theater they're doing now for the general public and one lie for those conspiracy truth seekers. But that's a ruse, too, I think, in today's current situation.
There's a question in the chat room. Why do you think this was done? What do you think was the rationale behind faking the moon landings?
Well, the people who told me it was fake long before I believed it, said money, 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 money. I mean, each moon rover in today's dollars is $100 million. The thing costs $200 billion. You know what I mean? Even if you're making 6% profit, right, that's $12 billion a profit, and then I'm sure they're making more than that. It was pride. We'd have to admit that we bit off more than we could chew. I'm sure that was into it, too. You know, a funny thing opens with the religious symbolism of the Tower of Babel, which was, you know, for a long time until a couple hundred years ago, the greatest expression of technology was building the tallest building. And I open up with that. Of course, the Tower of Babel was never finished. I showed the Titanic in publicity that says the ship that God himself could not sink. And, of course, it never made one voyage. And then Nixon, when he knew they were not on the moon, said it was the greatest event since creation.
Oh, absolutely. Well, absolutely. And there's another question for you. Before, because I want to get to your, just one more question before we get to you. However much you want to talk about what happened to you personally, the fascinating stuff, you know, with you know what I'm talking about, basically being abducted. And but I don't know how much you, because we want people to buy the book. But one more question before that: what is the point of Space Force?
I don't know. Is that a new television program?
I guess, you know, their space program. I guess that didn't well, Trump I mean, start that?
You know, yeah, you know, whatever. I mean, I guess they're just trying to make the government look mighty. We have Space Force and Disease Force and, you know, Tax Force and whatever. You know,
we're the best.
I mean, come on. NASA can't even send an unmanned probe around the moon.
Exactly.
With five decades better technology, they can't do it. They abandoned the project. Not that it was delayed, they abandoned it. They've said 10 times since 1969 we'll return to the moon in 5 years. 10 times.
Yeah.
China, the most industrialized nation on Earth, says it's going to take at least 15 years from today to put a man on the moon, which is twice the amount of time it took with five decades older technology.
Yeah, that was some marvelous technology, wasn't it? I want to make sure you cover, because that was, to me, the best part of the book when I talked about you, when you talked about what happened to you, because I didn't, obviously, I think it's the first time you revealed it, what personally happened to you, you know, people trailing you and abducting you and all that. But I don't know how much you want to share that, but maybe you can talk about it to the extent that you want to talk about it. But I think it's fascinating because you really, this is real. I mean, it obviously was, if you had any doubts that was happened, they made it very clear to you that they were there and they were watching you.
Yeah, I mean, my life was a feature film there for a while. I never talked about it publicly because I'm already saying something hard to believe. We didn't go to the moon. I didn't want to go into these X-Files adventures. However, I started the book Moon Man. Remember, Sibrel, SIBREL.com. Ha, free commercial. And basically, I go ahead and tell the story because I started writing it 15 years ago. And I figure I might as well tell everything, the backstory behind everything. Plus, we disclosed the actual base where it was filmed, the dates, and 15 people who were there, given by the chief of security who was there at the time, standing beside President Johnson while this thing happened. And all I say in the book, basically, is Ralph Nader was the CEO of General Motors. I think his name is Phil Roche, admitted in front of Congress that he hired former FBI agents to follow Ralph Nader. And the reason was, it's because they didn't want to spend the extra $200 per car to put airbags in them. Mm-hmm. So if they're sicking FBI agents on a guy simply because he wants to put airbags in cars and make it law, think what they would do to somebody spearheading the investigation into whether we went to the moon or not, if in fact they really didn't go. You know?
Yeah.
And so when I found this footage, I mean, it was 3.5 years into the project, and I figure we'll never know. We'll never know in my lifetime whether we went, and certainly no one will ever have any concrete proof, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm finishing up the film. A funny thing happened on the way to the moon, and I'm looking for the launch in real time, but everything NASA gives is already edited. I asked them for unedited footage. I only get pre-edited. There's not even the countdown in real time that's, you know, like more than a half a minute long. So I want to show the drama of the launch, have it in, you know, 1 minute down, but I don't have it. So I call up NASA and I say, hey, you know, I'm working on this documentary about the moon landings, which is true. I didn't add to it. And I need the shot. They said, oh, yeah, yeah. We'll send you the tape. I get the wrong tape. thinking, hey, okay, let me make sure you understand. And I unfortunately said, I'm trying to finish up the film here. I got the wrong tape a second time, the wrong tape a third time, the wrong tape a fourth time. And then when I call for the fifth time, they're like, now we'll pay your postage, but it'll take 8 weeks. When I used to pay my own Federal Express, you know, I'm thinking they're on to us. You know what I mean? And so I start going through the tapes to look for the countdown, because I have all these tapes from NASA, but they're all like the same thing, except the second to the last one. And I figured if they didn't go to the moon, they're more likely to have made a mistake the first time they faked it, because they never faked it before. They're learning how to do it. So I asked for everything from just the first mission, all film, all video, all stills, and so forth. There's only like 20 pictures of an astronaut standing on the surface of the moon in the entire mission. Only like 20 pictures. Can you believe that? I mean, people go to the bathroom at Walmart, they take like 12 pictures. But in any case, you know, here we are, and there's just 12 pictures. And then all the tapes are pre-edited, same thing over and over again. There's very little footage on the thing. So I pop in a tape, and it says, do not show to the public. And, you know, and I'm like, oh, this should be good. I hit fast forward because, you know, I'm an editor. I can kind of tell what things are at 30 times normal speed. And I keep seeing the same shot. Imagine like a black screen with a little blue ball Earth in the middle of it, as if they're looking at the Earth from far away. The shot goes on for like an hour, and I'm like, oh, unedited footage, this should be good. I look at the label, and what's on the label and on the tape are two completely different things. Either it was a clerical error, or as Bill Casing believes, they sent it to me intentionally. So I basically see this fake footage, and that's when I call up Bill in a panic, and I'm just, you know, I'm panicked. I'm like, oh, no, I have proof that we didn't go to the moon in my house. You know, what am I going to do? What have I done? I have a blind roommate, a toddler son, and I'm like, oh, no, I'm in deep trouble. So I remember calling up Bill, excited. Hey, Bill, you're not going to believe it. They really didn't go to the moon. They really didn't go. And he's like, well, Bart, I told you. And I said, no, you don't understand. They really didn't go. And he's like, well, Bart, I told you. And, you know, it dawns on me that he was right. And I'm seeing them faking it right in front of my eyes. And then long, long story, strange things start happening. I start being followed, drugged without my permission. I was kidnapped. I escape. I went to a lab. I mean, I peed in a cup, gave it to a friend, not under my name, to another lab to kind of, I want to prove I was drugged with something like truth serum or something. They had had this clipboard with questions prearranged on it. Where's this? Where's that? Where's the tape? Where's the original? Blah, 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 blah. And I told them everything they wanted to know because, you know, truth serum, whatever. I thought they were the good guys. And so there's no need to ever torture anybody. You can bribe them. Obama would turn in his son for $1 billion, I'm sure, and or you could drug them. So any torture at all is completely unnecessary. I guess that's retribution. But in any case, so I take this, you know, urine sample to a lab through a friend, not in my name, you know, turned out with these guys. And my friend calls the lab, and the lab says, well, we've had a problem. And they say, well, what happened? And they say, well, we had a break-in over the weekend. And I said, yeah. And I said, they didn't take anything except your urine sample. Like, ooh, that's pretty good.
That's amazing.
So, you know, and so, you know, I was going to prove scientifically I'd been drugged by the government with, you know, some exotic drug, true serum, that's not available on the market. And I got them. And I even gave it to a friend, so there wouldn't be my name and all this stuff. And they still found out about it and grabbed it. Mm-hmm. Too bad. But weird things like that and 10 times more described in the book.
Yeah, you got it. It's fascinating. It does read like an episode of The X-Files. Bart went through just an incredible amount. I was shocked to see that. But yeah, you got to read it to the details in the book. You have a fan in Australia. Ben asks, was the moon landing fake to create a justification for a breakaway civilization? Is it also the world's biggest theft of wealth?
I think the biggest theft of wealth is called Walmart. I mean, I'm not sure, but hello. Yes, I have a few friends down there under So I'm sorry you're going through that tough time.
Good day, mate. Good day, mate.
Sorry you're going through a tough time down there.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. But is there any creeds to him saying it was an attempt to justify a breakaway civilization?
I'm not sure I know what that means. I mean, some people think that, yes, the moon landings are fake. The pictures are fake. That's obvious. But they're really communing with aliens on the other side.
Yes, I've heard that.
You know, they don't care why you believe they went to the moon, as long as you believe it. If you want to throw aliens, great. They don't care why you believe there's a curtain crisis going on, whether from this source or that source, as long as you believe it.
Yeah.
So if you're talking about that type of civilization, no, I don't think that way.
There are also people I really don't understand who admit that, yeah, there's a lot of anomalies in these photos. They did fake the photos, but they really went. I remember the first thing I remembered looking at the NASA photos, because theoretically, because they tell you the moon has virtually no atmosphere, so we should have had a look that was better than any planetarium on Earth, better than by far the crystal clear night in the Sahara Desert or whatever. We should have seen tons of stars and constellations, of just an unbelievably sight that you would have seen, and yet you don't see any stars. And I love the way you were able to unearth the fact that during that very interesting press conference, which is really the only time the three astronauts, Armstrong, Aldrin, and Collins from Apollo 11, the only time they really talked, you can still watch it online. They're very uncomfortable. They don't, like you said, they look like they're at a funeral. They don't look like they're celebrating the greatest achievement in history of mankind and conquering heroes. But at one point, somebody asked Aldrin about the stars, because that's what I wanted. Why don't we see stars in the sky? It's just black sky. And he says something like, I really don't remember something. And Collins attempts to rescue him and says something like, yeah, I don't remember either, or something. And as you point out, Collins was not on the moon. He was orbiting in the module, supposedly, around the moon. So he wouldn't have been subject to the same kind of – and in fact – you said that they've edited it now to say that the transcript has been edited to have Aldrin saying it instead of Collins's, and they just basically took Collins's words. Now, why would they do that if they weren't covering something up?
Yeah, I mean, I believe it or not, I didn't notice when I edited the press conference, color corrected the thing, spent dozens of hours looking at it, and afterwards, you would think I would notice it beforehand. I see there's two teleprompters kind of recessed into the desk there. They're being prompted. Why would they're the only ones who knows what it's like to walk on the moon, right? So why does someone have to tell them what it's like?
Right, exactly.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I would think they'd have lots of flowery prose to describe it. I mean, they should have been writing sonnets. I mean, none of the romantic poets could have matched with those all. But and you mentioned earlier about the pictures on the moon. One thing I also think I found fascinating is there's only one picture, I believe, of the Earth from the moon. We've all seen the same kind of blue orb. But why wouldn't there have been a bunch of pictures of the Earth, maybe at different angles and maybe different looking every day, like more of a crescent or less crescent or something? And shouldn't the Earth have been a lot bigger? I mean, it looked kind of like the size of the moon, maybe a tiny bit bigger, but it should have been far bigger because it's much bigger than the moon. So, what were they trying to sell with that one photo? They had no interest in – you think you might want to photograph the Earth there? You think people back on Earth might be interested in that?
Well, they made a heck of a lot of photographic mistakes in the last mission, almost as if intentional or something. I'm not sure. The best understanding of astronomy is that actually the Earth would have been pretty much center over the horizon, half above, half below, always from the surface of the moon at any time. Apparently, it's something like that. So if you go to Paris, you're obviously going to take a picture of yourself in front of the Eiffel Tower. Mm-hmm. So there should have been all these pictures and even live on TV, but they couldn't synchronize it accurately. They'd have to depict the Earth in real time that would match satellite pictures, and then with the clouds spinning and the exact portion of the Earth facing that part of the moon at that time. The same thing with the stars. They couldn't fake the constellations.
It's, yeah,
the tiniest error someone would, or omission would prove it was fake. So they tried not to talk about it. However, you look at space shuttle NASA pictures at sunrise or sunset, it's like still somewhat bright and you already see stars in the sky. you know?
Yeah.
So I think there probably should have been, but they knew they couldn't fake it, so they tried to just dodge the question.
Good point. Good point. They would have. And there's another question for you. What are your thoughts on the Mars rover images? And this kind of almost plays into also the movie Capricorn One, which I notice is not played very often on television anymore, because it obviously was based on the doubts about the moon. And I think that movie portrays what would have happened. I mean, they went after those astronauts and they wanted to kill them. Much as they were kind of going after you. But what are your thoughts on the Mars rover? I mean, I'm dubious about all their unmanned craft as well. I've found the images from Mars to be very questionable.
Well, they already fake going to the moon, so they can't be trusted at all.
Exactly.
Some of the early probe pictures from the 70s look fake to me, and there's some landscapes that seem to match somewhere in Greenland somewhere, and I don't know, and who knows. I think what they do is they have secret missions, like let's say they're looking for Planet X or something like that, but they don't want to tell anybody, and they need to go to Jupiter in order to get a good view. So they create a mission in the public. Hey, we're going to go to Jupiter and study its moon. And maybe it takes some pictures of the moon. But the main reason is some other hidden way. Probes, I don't know. I mean, who knows? I mean, they continue to lie. I don't think it really matters other than they're wasting money.
Yeah, you're right. It's the same way as you look at the government. Why would you believe the CIA or the intelligence agencies about anything? I mean, with their record, same thing with NASA. NASA lied about its greatest alleged accomplishment, allegedly the greatest accomplishment in the history of mankind. Why would anybody believe any of this other stuff? And why do they call it the space shuttle when it doesn't go anywhere near space?
Well, I'm not sure about that one. Maybe because most of it's empty. I don't know. But, people have to understand, pick a location, wherever you are geographically right now, pick a location that is 250 miles away, this city to that city. And then turn it vertical, and that's how high the space shuttle is.
Yeah.
That's the height. That's the farthest height NASA can send astronauts today, even with five decades better technology.
Yeah.
So the moon is 1,000 times farther than that. And they're saying they went 1,000 times farther than they can go today, 50 years ago, with 1 millionth the computing power of a cell phone on the first attempt.
That was when men were men, though. There were a bunch of snowflakes now. That's why they can't do it. You guys can't do it. We could go to the moon on it. Didn't Aldrin tell some kind of ridiculous story where I saw him on a television show? Of course, he's been by far the most vocal. Not to mention punching you, but the most vocal of that where he acted like he was some kind of a handyman redneck, where he jerry-rigged something. Something went wrong on the surface, and he had to – do you know what I'm talking about? Like he had to wire something or something. I remember hearing that, and I'm thinking, what? What?
Yeah, I think he was talking about one of the cables for the spotlight. It got pulled out of the plug, and it kept falling out. So he walked over there, and he bent kind of the prongs back, stuck it back in so it's staying there better. I think that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, just use this WD-40. But I want to make sure, we give you plenty of time to talk about what you want to talk about. So, obviously, the book is very important. It's kind of it describes your history in doing this, what happened to you. But what else do you want to talk about in terms of – and, of course, Astronauts Gone Wild. I don't know if you want to talk a little bit about that. But one thing I found – amazing. If you guys have seen Astronauts Gone Wild, the end of it, Bart includes some footage where he left his mic accidentally on in Edgar Mitchell, I think it was the astronaut there who kicked him in the butt, and threw him out of the house. And his son, his young son, can be heard on there saying, should we call the CIA to have him whacked or something, which sounds like something out of Hollywood. But you say in the book that his son died at age 26. Am I Having studied the JFK assassination for a long time, my radar goes off. Do we know how his son died? Was it unnatural?
If he did die, and I presume he did, he died of cancer. No, the main point, and I wrote a song about this, there are 15 video links throughout the book. Like, at this point, stop and watch the funny things. You know what I'm talking about? At this point, stop, watch astronauts. Here's the NASA guy saying the radiation is deadly. Here's them saying they destroyed all the equipment, so forth and so on. And the last video is kind of a music video, a song that I wrote, and someone else did it. And it kind of the summary of my life experiences with this whole moon landing fraud investigation. And the verse, basically says, he threatened to kill me, but look at him, he's dead at 26. It's from Proverbs. It says when someone issues a curse on someone that is not deserved, it will fall back on the person who issued it. And that's what happened to him. He threatened to kill me, you know? And now he's dead, you see? So.
But I just thought that, you know, if you watch Astronauts Gone Wild, it's fascinating to watch Armstrong's reaction, Collins' kind of psychotic reaction where he comes up to the camera and smushes his nose against it. It's really, and of course, the one that everybody knows, like people, that's what they know you from. We have comments in the chat room. Oh, that's the guy Buzz Aldrin punched. But then you talk about in the book that you later had contact with Neil Armstrong, and you said you weren't at liberty to discuss exactly what he said, but you say that he basically said you were right, that he basically admitted in so many words that it was a hoax. What's behind that you can talk about?
Well, I talk to these astronauts off the record probably more than on the record, even though Astronauts Gone Wild is filled with on the record conversations. I can tell you that one or more astronauts made it clear to me off camera that I was correct, and basically good luck trying to prove it. And what they mean basically is, for some reason, you know, JFK, let's take a look at that, for example. The president is dead, no matter who did it. If Cuba did it, or the Russians did it, or the mob did it, or the CIA did it, he's still dead. Whoever did 9/11, 3,000 people are still dead. However, the moon landing is a positive conspiracy. It made everyone feel good during the Vietnam War protests. And it gave them something to cheer about. And so trying to take that away is like me telling you, you know, Don, your favorite team that just won the Super Bowl, they cheated, I can prove it. Yeah. You're ready to punch me in the face, right?
I'm not going to do a Buzz Aldrin on you.
Yeah. So they knew that's what I'm up against, and they're right. And it is what it is. You know, a third of the book is about the who, what, when, where, why, how the moon landings were faked. A third of it is my kind of X-Files backstory, you know, espionage adventures that I go into for the first time. And then the other third of the book is really an indictment of not only the federal government, but generally governments worldwide in general, that, you know, these people did kill Kennedy. They did fake the beginning of the Vietnam War, which led to the death of 1 million people. They admit that the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which provoked it, they completely staged it. And we know they did 9/11, 3,000 architects and engineers say so, that, you know, it wasn't airplanes, it was something else, which means domestic terrorists. And these people are still at large, right? Whenever someone takes an oath, police, Marine, whatever, to uphold the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, it's the boogeyman's always in another country, because the people who run the show are the boogeyman. They're Americans, right? Benedict Arnold was an American, right? So there, and he was in the military. He was a general, right? So, you know, that's the real problem we got going on. And if the truth about the moon landing comes out, it would probably, to a certain degree, collapse America.
Yeah,
there'd be congressional hearings, and Iran would say, I told you, they're the great deceiver, you know, and people in factories, there'd be a new tradition. They got a quota to do, and they go, why don't we just pretend to do quota like the Americans?
Well, hasn't Vladimir Putin, I don't know if he said it himself, but I've read lots of things, that intimations that he was going to, you know, say something about it or try to expose it. He's dubious about it. Have you heard anything about that?
Well, I'm sure the guy knows the truth. He used to be KGB.
Right.
Right? And what kind of world do we live in when a president of the United States, who's CIA director, right, becomes president, the CIA of the Vatican, Jesuit, becomes pope, and then you have the CIA KGB guy in Russia becoming president, you know? That bad president happening here.
Yeah.
And I think other nations do know, you know, Israel, Japan, China, Russia, they know. They're got some under the table deal. People think, oh, well, then they would tell the truth to ruin America. No, they wouldn't. They blackmail us. Much more valuable, you know?
Right. And they were obviously paid off at the time. And I believe that there was a lot, you know, the Cold War was basically phony anyhow. But that to me proves it, because the evidence was pretty clear there. And why didn't the Soviets, because the Soviet Union was still pretty strong during the mid to late 70s when Bill Kaysing and the others first started raising these questions. Why didn't they, jump on board and say, see, you Americans cheated, you know, but they didn't, because I think they had a vested interest as well.
Well, you know, if only one astronaut walked on the moon, just say Neil Armstrong went, nobody else, and nobody's been back since. And if it was fake, the truth probably would have been told by now. The problem is that one confession of one astronaut will ruin the lives of every other astronaut.
Right.
And a president is kind of faced with the same dilemma. If a president tells the truth about the Gulf of Tonkin, who killed Kennedy, the moon landing, 9/11, it'll drag America down. However, what's the alternative? That we get more and more and more corrupt? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And yeah, the dollar would collapse probably, and we'd be made fun of. But it would be a good house cleaning.
How many of the astronauts that allegedly walked on the moon are still alive besides Buzz Aldrin?
You know, I don't know.
I don't think there's too many.
Yeah, if you consider the guys who allegedly orbited while they walked, there's some of those alive. You know, it's nine or something like that. Yeah. And, of course, they're dying off, and eventually there'll be one left. So.
And James Irwin is apparently the only one who might have had a guilty conscience or a change of heart, became a Christian, however you want to say it. But that could have been some powerful stuff. Imagine if he had come out and gone on. Although, I don't know. The media might not have let him. Again, watch Capricorn 1 if you haven't seen it. I think it's a pretty realistic, paints a pretty realistic picture of what might have happened if they did try to talk.
Well, I discovered, I mentioned in the book, most people don't know about it, but there's a 10-second radio delay in all radio and TV now since 2012. They said everyone has to go HD in 2012, and built into the, you know, codec, Hello DARPA, is a 10-second delay. Now, when Richard Pryor did Saturday Night Live, because the guy used the F word in stand-up, they were paranoid the guy might say it on live. The guy's a professional. He would never do that. However, they put in a 5-second delay.
I remember, yeah.
Now there's double that, so that if one astronaut walks on TV somewhere, even live on national news, starts confessing, they can turn that thing off.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yeah, they certainly can. Well, so, Moon, how is this? Have you gotten? I mean, the Moon Man has was it released last week or something? When did it officially come out? And have you gotten much feedback from it so far?
So far, good reviews. This is the first, I guess, and today a pre-recorded one is airing about it. So, yeah, it's available on audiobook, Kindle, and hard copy at Sibrel, S-I-B-R-E-L, Sibrel.com, and you can get it. I'm surprised I saw sold quite a few audiobooks of it.
Oh, that'd be great, yeah. Yeah, I'd love to listen to the audio version. It's a fantastic story, and you know, you deserve a lot of credit for hanging in there. Because I mean, how has it been as far as I ask whistleblowers, and you're basically a whistleblower and the greatest fake event ever. How has your family reacted to this over the years? Do they think you're a crazy wacko, or are any of them supportive and believe that as you do?
No, they think I'm a crazy wacko.
That happens. That's the way it is 99% of the time, Bart, I can tell you.
So, but it is what it is. I don't know why. I've always felt like, since I was a kid, standing up for what is right, even though I'm a big sinner personally, something in me since I was like 5 years old to stand up for injustice, even against towering adults, holding my ground if I really believe something was ethically, morally wrong. And that's what, you know, I first turned it down because I thought it could be true and that would be dangerous. I'm not going to die for Nixon's lie. Then when I read the Bible and realized there is right or wrong, I mean, it really is. You look at the two choices. Let's say they could go to the moon. They could plant a flag. Hurrah. it has a certain level of historic significance. But if they couldn't do it, they lied about it, they embezzled billions of dollars, they murdered people to keep it a secret, that's more profound of an event historically than if they'd actually gone.
And I think it's incredibly naive to think the people that did this, and these are there, I mean, there are, I don't know how many of them are alive that were participated in it still, but they're the descendants that believe this, and again, called people like you names and wanted to put you in a mental institution because that's what they do. They try to ridicule you and kill the messenger. How would they? They're never. It's like TWA Flight 800, where the Navy almost certainly accidentally, they didn't mean to, they accidentally shot down an airline. They're never going to admit that. Oops.
Well, here's something very interesting about that, if I may inject, because sure. We have a few minutes left. Pierre Salinger, press secretary for President Kennedy, investigative journalist, went on national TV and said, I am 100% certain Flight 800 was taken down by a Navy missile. Yes. I stake my entire reputation on it. And you know what he said the next day? I retracted. I was wrong.
Well, they ruined his career anyhow. They called him names, and he no longer had that cushy ABC assignment. He was the ABC's Paris correspondent, so I think he was probably the least busy correspondent. Whatever they were paying him was ridiculous. But yeah, that was definitely it. But I mean, they're not going to admit something like that, even when they didn't mean to do it. I don't think they intentionally meant to do it. They were just careless. But in this case, they meant to do this. They schemed. They fooled the public. And they used patriotism, and you got a couple things. Somebody is expressing they were going to want to get the audio version, and somebody else says, "God bless you, Bart, for your work."
Oh,
and they say, "God bless you too."
I remember, Don, when I found out that Santa Claus was not real. I remember it's burned into my brain.
Me too.
I was crushed. Yeah. I cried and I cried and I cried. And this is the first reason why the government doesn't want to admit the truth. It's not just they lied about who killed Kennedy or who stole what. They told this grandiose, held ticker tape parades for them, and it's burned in people's emotions, the pride, the tears, the emotion. And to then tell them they made it all up, that's a tough one. And then you add to it the death of three astronauts who would have been the first people on the moon, but they wouldn't cooperate, murdered, according to his own dead relatives, murdered by the CIA. Absolutely. You see how hard it is, you know, how hard it is?
Absolutely.
It's truth. It's a hard one.
There's only a couple minutes left, and I want to make sure you have plenty of time to promote yourself and give all the links and everything. It's just the time went by way too quick, Bart Sobral. Just, you know, fantastic work, and I urge everyone to go out and get his book, Moon Man. But give the links where everybody can find your work and buy the book.
Yeah, just go to my last name, Sobral.com. S as in Sam, I, B as in boy, R-E-L, Sobral.com.
And that's so you can buy the book there. And again, get the title, the total title of the book again.
Moon Man. It's been kind of my nickname for myself and that other people give me. Oh, you're the Moon Man.
And again, it's a fitting like combination of you because you had the astronauts gone wild and you had a funny thing happen to the moon. And I think, are both of those still on YouTube? They must have taken them down.
They're still there because that's old news for them. You know, current situation, that's what they're censoring because it matters to them. No, they're both there. They're part of the video links. There's 15 interactive video links throughout the book. It says go to Sobral.com, click on the video links at the top, and you'll get all the links. And that's, you know, two of them, those two films. And by the way, I also read the audiobook as well. I assumed all the authors
can hear your voice. Cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. Australian Ben has one more question. Does Bart speak with Richard Hoagland?
No, I don't think he and I have ever talked. We might have emailed each other.
Did you know of the work of Dave McGowan and the Wagon the Moon Doggy?
I've heard of it. I'm not sure I've watched that one. There's a lot. I mean, it's like you already know they're fake.
Right.
I really need another 3 hours. I'm sure it's well done.
Well, it was not a video. It was an online series, but it was just – his writing was so funny. He just did it in such a way, you know, that he used humor and ridicule and you do. I mean, you use some humor too, but it's I think it's a good companion piece. If you get a chance, you should check it out. So are we coming up on I think we're just about up to 7 o'clock here. But again, I can't thank you enough, Bart Sobral. And glad to have you back on. Good luck with the book, and keep up the great work. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you.
Hi, this is Ron Paul. You're listening to The Donald Jeffries Show.
In a time of fake news, fake politicians, and fake fiat currency, it's getting harder to find the genuine article. That's why when it comes to precious metals, I call the team I can trust. This is David Knight from my friends at Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange. Proudly veteran-owned and operated, Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange is your home for gold and silver coins, bullion, jewelry, and more. Prices and inventory are updated daily, so you get the most competitive possible pricing. And when it's time to sell your gold and silver items, they pay top dollar. Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange also accepts and deals in Bitcoin. Call or text the owner, Tony Arterburn, today at 888-667-1836. That's 888-667-1836. Or just go to wisewolf.gold. From bullion to Bitcoin, Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange.
Wise Wolf Gold and Silver Exchange.
WallStreetWindow.com. Gold, silver, the stock market. WallStreetWindow.com.
Perhaps you're invested deeply.
Perhaps you're not in deep enough.
Maybe you're thinking about getting started.
WallStreetWindow.com. Michael Swanson, the brilliant author of The War State, understood these trends professionally for many years, and now he gives you the benefit of his knowledge. WallStreetWindow.com. Go there now.
Go there now.
Go there now.
Revelation through conversation.
This is Cindy Sheehan. You're listening to The Donald Jeffries Show.
Ochilly.com.
You are listening to The Donald Jeffries Show.
Back to the Donald Jeffries Show. Hope you guys liked Bart Sabrell. The Moon Man is a fascinating mix. He didn't want to talk too much about his own experiences, but it reads like a couple X-Files episodes. Nice story arc from X-Files. I mean, it's got a lot of interesting stuff in there, and he went through it himself personally just because he was trying to prove that we didn't go to the moon, which that's what the evidence shows. Let's open up those phone lines. So love to hear from you guys. Please call 319-527-5016. Again, the number is 319-527-5016. Love your calls. Love your questions from the chat room. So, boy, there's a lot of obviously there's a lot of stuff going on every week, and it's never any good, is it? I mean, we just keep between the Orwellian madness with the vaccine mandates and the way everything is going in that one direction. And there's, I just remain amazed that ever since this thing started, as I said, there's never been anybody in a position of public prominence. No one that has any power has objected to this thing from the very beginning. They did. No one, you know, nobody from, you know, again, these capitalists, you know, profits are everything to them, right? Well, they had to have been paid who knows how much under the table because they never objected to the unconstitutional lockdown. Since when does government has, you know, you can't run your business anymore? I mean, isn't that kind of anathema to Republicans and that whole principle that the government doesn't have any right to do that? They sat idly on their hands. It was, you know, after a few months, they started grumbling a little bit, but they still kept buying the main premise. They kept buying that this was a deadly pandemic. And as I said all along, if it was a deadly pandemic, you would not have had that wide open southern border. And it was as wide open under Trump, or it's a little wider open now because they're just going crazy. But the same thing under Trump, they never closed it. So if this was a deadly disease, the last thing you should want are people indiscriminately wandering across your border. You don't know what they have, where they're coming from. You're not checking them. You're not vetting them. You're flying them around the country, in other words. Exactly. But aspartame might need new evaluations for use, but no long-term data needed for the shots. Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's – and there's that great I guess it was last year, the year before. I don't know when Fauci said it, but he talks about, you know, it's going to take 10 years of trial before you can bring any of these – I mean, he talks about it, you have to go through trials, and that's what vaccines are supposed to have to go through. And up to like about 10 years before you can do it. Well, in this case, it wasn't even, you know, 10 weeks probably from the time, again, and Trump, the father of the vaccine, the people out there in the Trump cult, you know, you got to, you know, this is, I'm not saying he's claiming credit. He's saying he's claiming credit. They aren't saying he's claiming credit because they love the vaccine. And it's, that's a whole odd situation there that Trump is claiming credit for something that his supporters are overly rejecting, and yet they're still worshiping him. And the other side, which, you know, has a, you know, a hatred for Donald Trump that has really never been seen outside of Adolf Hitler, they are just worshiping the vaccine he says is his. And they're not really saying, "Oh, it's not yours. Why are you taking Clinton?" They're just kind of ignoring that. They're just, you know, it's this very strange situation there. As Chuck says, if anybody wanted to fix the border issue, they might have done it in the last 5 decades. Well, absolutely. But they, you know, I think they had finally the greatest opportunity and the biggest excuse to do it. I mean, I don't, certainly the same woke Democrats that are just, you know, urging all of us, not, you know, mask up, you know, mandates, cancel people for not getting the vaccine, firing them. These same people apparently aren't afraid of people wandering in the country who aren't vaccinated or haven't been tested. We don't know what their status is, but I don't think many of them are vaccinated. And then they're being allowed to just, you know, they're being flown and across the country to various places. That ought to concern them if they're so scared that, you know, you're coming and you might cough, you know, without a mask on. How come they're not concerned about that? Again, politics, this is so much politics involved. That's, again, that's why I think we would know the real thing if we saw, you know, a real bubonic plague type situation. And the first thing you would see is our leaders would be taking it seriously. As I said over and over again, clearly they don't think it's a big deal. Otherwise, you wouldn't have caught Nancy Pelosi without her mask in the salon. You wouldn't have caught Chris Cuomo over and over again. So many times that his, you know, the property manager of his apartment threatened to evict him. Said, you know, he had, they read the letter. Tucker Carlson read the letter on air. That, you know, this is, you know, you ignore numerous complaints about not wearing your mask, even in the elevator. And we've seen it over and over again. I mean, we've seen these people caught without their mask that are the same ones that want you fired for it. So it's, I don't know if it's ever going to be, if it's going to come to a head or not, because I don't know. When this thing began, I said I didn't know what the end game was. Because, and I never expected it, you know, once the vaccine thing kicked in, they really, it looks like the kind of thing that we, people like me, were talking about back in the 70s. You know, if you'd known me back then as a young radical, of course I didn't have all these things to talk about, but it was the same kind of premise. You can't trust them. The man sucks. You know, this is, you know, why are you listening to anything they say? They're lying about everything, and I had no idea how much they were lying about them because I really hadn't studied history to the extent I would. But it was the same. I was trying to open people's eyes then, and they thought I was crazy. Now, it didn't surprise me to hear Bart Sobrell say that they think he's a wacko. I've interviewed so many whistleblowers from various degrees, people that went out on a limb to go against the grain, Wolfgang Halbig and Sandy Hook to Richard Gage, 9/11, and so many more. And every one of them tell the same story. Their families didn't support them. Most of the time, their marriage breaks up over it. I go back to Jim Garrison. You know, Jim Garrison's, that when you watch JFK, Oliver Stone's great movie, and you're, you know, that I could really relate to that line when, you know, Sissy Spacek is kind of sniping at him. He's a nice man, you know. He's done so much for the city, you know, and about Clay Shaw. And Kevin Costner's Jim Garrison responded, "That damn Liv, I can't fight you in the whole damn world, too." And a lot of us have felt that way. But what happened is his wife did end up, and they didn't have the happy ending that they showed in the film. His wife left him. And as I understand it now, I'm not sure how many of the kids even support his legacy. It's unclear. I've heard different things from different people. But at any rate, no one is carrying it on. But Garrison, if you want to measure that man, why I still continue to revere him, when he was dying on his deathbed, he summoned his ex-wife, the woman who had rejected him and who had, you know, who not stood by him when the whole world was indeed attacking him, when he was under assault by, you know, no one up to that point really had a media assault on him in America like that before. And he summoned her because he wanted to remarry her so that she could collect his pension. Now, you know, to me, that's courage. That's a profiling courage. I haven't heard too many stories that were more heroic than that. And I hope maybe her eyes were open, but I don't know. I don't know. At that time, maybe she realized, wow, you know, I made a big mistake here. But, you know, he's not alone. That's why when Bart talked about that, I can relate to it because it kind of goes to the territory. Those people who are willing to go out on a limb and face, especially when that heat comes from the public, and it does come, when the media starts bringing the heat, it's got to be tough. And, of course, most of the time, you know, it ends up being a man and the wife, just can't stand. And I can understand that. I mean, I can understand these things happen, and to a degree, that happened to my friend Dean Andrews III, who is the son of Dean Andrews Jr., the beatnik lawyer of New Orleans that was played so memorably in JFK by John Candy. And Dean and I have become good friends over the years, and Dean talks about, you know, again, I was the first one. I had his mother, who's still alive, she's about 90, maybe about, I don't know, 7, 8, maybe 10 years ago. So we had her over the house for dinner, and when she was in the area, and it was the first time she had talked about it because she did not want to talk about it because it ruined her life. You know, it ruined Dean Andrews Jr.'s life too. Now, he ended up going down the dark path because he lied to save himself and to save his family, I think, because he saw many people were dying, so he perjured himself and went against Garrison. And But you know, see that the family, you know, she did talk to me a little bit, and I tried to say, hey, you know, this was a real thing. It was just a real case, and I tried to explain, you know, because she just basically blamed her husband for getting involved in it. And I said, well, you know, I think he really did, you know, get that call and everything, so he really couldn't help it, but he chose, you know, unfortunately to save his neck, but I guess he was looking out for your family. Chuck says, I'm going to have to sneak over the border. Trump's reelected. Won't be able to leave without a shot passport. So I need to find new organized crime syndicate. Stupid. Australian Ben says, even if Trump returns in 2024, what is the likelihood of actually building a border? Well, you know, do you think Trump will be reinstated to Facebook and Twitter if he's a Republican nominee for president? What are your thoughts on Kamala's space exploration chat and that contrived video with child actors? Well, I haven't seen that, but I don't have much confidence that there's any kind of space exploration that Kamala Harris is involved in that's going to be real. Any thoughts on the radical left turning Superman gay and how this affects innocent kids? Yeah, I mean, well, no, I don't think Superman has turned gay. The last I heard is that I think Superman is turning black now in the latest incarnation. But I think I heard Superman's son, which he has in some, I guess some of the newer videos or whatever, is going to come out as bisexual. But again, you know, this is the woke madness, and it's not about profits, because they're obviously losing a lot more people with this stuff than they're gaining. The wall checks it. Yeah, I mean, again, I Ben, I would say that we had 4 years of Trump, and the people that still support him act like we didn't have 4 years of Trump. It was four long years of him tweeting out something and sometimes saying great stuff, in my opinion, sometimes just being more often just being stupid, but and never following through on anything that might have possibly saved this country. I said at the time he was elected, he was the last hope we had. He wasn't much of a hope, but he very early, I mean, the first day in office, when he didn't sign the executive orders he promised to sign, you know, when he said Hillary's good people. And the Clintons are good people. Hillary's, we don't need that anymore. Lock her up. And the wall is just, you know, I always thought the wall was a stupid idea, because you don't need a wall. I mean, it's an eyesore. It makes you look, you're trying to keep people in as much. And that may be the case. I think at this point I would really fear a wall, because I'd be more likely. I mean, Chuck talking about going over the border to Mexico, there may be, you know, a lot of us may be looking at that, because at this point, Mexico may be a better run country than the, you know, I don't know. I think we're the biggest third world country the world has ever seen, the wealthiest one ever. Jay says he doesn't watch TV and movies at all. Well, I watch certain things. Yes, Superman's son, that's the thing. But I mean, you know, it's, there's, and the propaganda and all this stuff is just so thick, but, the idea of the wall, and again, people, I think that was the analytics told him, the Cambridge Analytica, I think, told him that these little sound bites worked best, and that's why they accented, you know, drain the swamp, America first, short little sound bites, build the wall, lock her up. That was, and so these are, because it works well with a, you know, the American attention span is shorter than ever. We've been dumbed down incredibly. So he threw out little tidbits of red meat like that. But there was never anything, there was no reason. Again, you don't need a wall. I mean, the border could have been, you know, if I was in office, I would have a long time ago, first of all, I would have withdrawn, I would have brought the troops home from all the 150 or 160, however many countries there are still remain in the world nonsensically. They have no reason to be there. Bring them home. Whatever the cost is, it's ridiculous and it's unnecessary. We don't have any problems in any of those countries. No reason for them to be there except to interfere in other sovereign nations and just cause problems and create new enemies. Bring them all home, and you can put a fraction of those troops. I don't know how many you would need, a few thousand. I don't even know. But you know, put a real show of force. Put 10,000 troops, line them along the border, southern border. Crisis solved. I mean, that crisis is solved. If you have the troops there, and, you know, I don't think it would be necessary to shoot anybody, but, you know, maybe you have them shoot a few warning shots over their head or something. But That's the only reason that's the only way you're going to stop it. But that's never going to happen because they could have done this a long time ago. As Chuck pointed out, 5 decades. And it started under another Republican phony, Ronald Reagan. I'm in Hidden History 3, I go more into what a great, and again, I just hate the fact that a lot of good people still worship this guy. He was awful. So many horrible precedents were set under Reagan. And one of them was the Immigration Reform Act of 1986, when that was the time the problem had started. It was still manageable. You should have done like what Eisenhower did. That's where the notion wetbacks came from, you know, when he sent the illegals back during his administration. But Reagan didn't do that. Reagan was, again, and very much his supporters sound very much like the Trump cult, where they blame everybody but him. They say, oh, well, the Democrats promised him more border security, and he got fooled, and that's why he went for amnesty. No, he went for amnesty because he always had been. I have his quotes in the book, and you'll see. He was always open borders. He was a typical rhino, Mitt Romney-type Republican. He mouthed those things about, big government and all that stuff. And in reality, much as Trump did nothing, Reagan had 8 years. Now, he wasn't as hated by the media because he was smoother. He was, you know, he was an actor, a trained actor, and he wasn't a reality actor like Trump. he said his lines well, and the Republican Party, the establishment, coalesced behind him because he was giving them the same stupid, meaningless rhetoric about getting tough with the Soviet Union, although, again, he did nothing when Korean airliner 007 was shot down by Russia with an American congressman, Lawrence McDonald, who just happened to be the only conspiracy theorist in Congress, happened to be on board that. Read the Becht records. He was talking about the CFR and the Federal Reserve on the floors of Congress. He wrote the foreword to Gary Allen's classic None Dare Call a Conspiracy. So of all the guys, Jack Anderson said, I of all the congressmen there, I'm glad it was him, or something, again, Jack Anderson, the quintessential Mockingbird media stoolie. But Reagan did nothing when that happened. Mr. Tough Guy, I'm going to go to the war with the Soviets, he did nothing. And I'm not saying, I don't know what he should have done, but the fact is he did nothing. And he had a chance to, for instance, he could have abolished the Department of Education, which we see there's a lot of problems with that. It had just been created by Jimmy Carter. It wouldn't have been hard to abolish. It was brand new. He did nothing. Department of Energy was new as well. Again, a questionable, agency. What have they done? We still have the same kind of energy. If the Department of Energy was, finding Nikola Tesla's secret record and opening him up to John Newman and all the other suppressed inventors of alternative energy that are out there, then, I'd be for supporting that, of course. We need alternative forms of energy, but they're not. They do nothing, as far as I can determine, except soak up tax dollars. Reagan didn't cut those. He didn't cut a single sub-agency in 8 years. So much as Reagan, Trump did nothing about immigration, did nothing about bringing the troops home, did nothing about building the infrastructure, did nothing about draining the swamp, did nothing about reforming the corruption in the system, except tweet. Same thing goes for Reagan. Reagan had 8 years. Now, he wasn't promising to do all that. He was promising to cut down on government and cut taxes. Well, he certainly cut taxes. He cut the top rate. I think the top rate at the time was 72% or something. 72%. He cut it to 28%. Now, and at the same time, he raised the bottom rate because, we had, too much taxes. Well, but not the people that have nothing. He raised that rate from 13 to 15%. Despicable. And the trickle-down theory obviously never worked. And that's when, really, my book, Survival of the Richest, and I talk a lot about it in there, that's when the disparity of wealth, because up until that point, from World War II era up until Reagan's era, the disparity of wealth was probably the lowest it's ever been. I mean, it still was not good. But at that time, first of all, you didn't have CEOs. The term was invented during the Reagan years. And before that, you called them presidents of companies. But then you started seeing these absurd bonuses. And later in the 90s, under the horrible Bill Clinton, who did so many awful things too. I mean, the whammy, beginning with Reagan was just horrible. Reagan followed by Clinton. But Clinton was no liberal either, let me tell you, any classical liberal anyhow. But they created the awful legislation which made so-called performance bonuses for executives tax-free. So that's why you started seeing these $40 million gifts to the executive, and they don't pay a penny of tax on. Do you hear Bernie Sanders or any liberals talking about it? No, nobody talks about it. Let's see. I'm trying to get some as I was talking. Why didn't Trump just order the military to build and guard the wall? Well, again, why didn't Trump do anything? What did Trump do? And yet he was criticized as if he was doing something. He never did anything. Let's see. The Gipper, absolutely. Yeah, they would do anything to defend these clowns. Yeah. It's like we spent, you know, what did we spend? 15 years in Vietnam or whatever it was. And as if to think, you really think we couldn't have defeated them? I mean, we had no business being there. But if you're in a war, you should be in it to win it and get it over with as quick as possible. That's not what they did. And that's – I talk a lot about that in Crimes and Cover-Ups. And I hope all of you will check out the paperback of Crimes and Cover-Ups in American Politics, 1776-1963, which comes out in less than a week. It's out there already for pre-sale, forwarded by Ron Paul. I have two – new sections. There's an updated introduction from me to the 2021 edition, where I talk a little about Trump and all the changes. And there's another new chapter on un-Americanism, the history of un-Americanism, and or so-called un-Americanism. But I hope people will check it out, because Skyhorse, my primary publisher, after asking for basically what is Hidden History 3, asking for another in the series of history books, says those are what sell for me. People don't buy Survival of the Richest and Bullyocracy. And hopefully they'll buy the Showbiz book, which is coming out very soon too. But they seem to like the conspiracy books. So I think I'm just going to keep writing these Hidden History type books. So Hidden History 3, after asking for it, they basically now kind of backing off a little bit and saying, well, conspiracy books. And I think they're getting pressure because they publish too many of these kinds of books. So they basically told me whether or not they take the book is going to be largely based on how well the paperback sells. So you want to help me out, buy the paperback, because we need to sell a lot of them to convince them to publish Hidden History Theory. Otherwise, I'll have to either self-publish or go to a real small publisher. But I think you mentioned in HH1, Reagan raised taxes 11 times. Yes, I did. Absolutely. I've heard from so many people in the industry. It was amazing. Like this one guy was a liberal, and he thought, oh, I can't believe how hard you are on Clinton. But then he read my chapter on he didn't like what I wrote about Clinton and Obama. But then he read about Reagan. He said, okay, you're even-handed. I am even-handed. I don't think any of these guys are any good. I'm not a partisan. Other than Kennedy, I said I have a soft spot for the Kennedys. I think they're different. I think the fact that so many of them have been killed, proves that. Yeah, we got that cheese man. So we got the giant orange man. That's the biggest problem we face, is that he is still, and he, you know, Trump is still in the middle of everything we face today, because he is, as I said, he was I think the last hope we had, and he proved obviously very quickly to not be a false hope, fake news. But millions of people, because this attack on him from the Trump Derangement Syndrome of people, because it was nonstop, and the people that attacked him are so odious themselves. I mean, the Don Lemons and Chris Cuomo's of the world, and the MSNBC, Joe Scarborough, who had a hot young blonde intern was found dead with a head wound in his congressional office when he's in Congress, and no one can talk about it. And Trump tweeted. That's what would keep me interested in Trump. Trump tweeted about it, but he did it. He always nibbled around the edges, but he let Scarborough know he knew. And like Roger Stone told me, he knows about all the conspiracies, and he clearly does. But then when he acts, he does the opposite. He always goes the establishment way, much as when he nominated Brett Kavanaugh after he had mentioned several times, some people think he was killed, as far as Vince Foster. Well, then his Supreme Court nominee, Brett Kavanaugh, was the guy who led the cover-up in the Vince Foster murder by Kenneth Starr. So, that's Trump. That's Trump in a nutshell, and that's why – I've had it with him, and I don't care. The people that love Trump, I was out walking. I take a long walk in my neighborhood every day. And a couple weeks ago, I was out, and the big MAGA guy in the neighborhood, who usually loves me, he's amazing. I'm on these shows and stuff. And he was upset because I was on David Knight's show, and he really hates David Knight now, because David Knight really is hard on Trump. I mean, I almost think he talks about him a little too much now at this point, because he's pretty much irrelevant now. But he was getting mad at me. You know, he said, you and David Knight, you know, you need to give Trump a break. And I said, well, you know, you need to stop supporting him, because this guy, he's not the answer. And I keep trying to tell people, yes, and you have to, you know, both sides, I get it from both sides, because the people that are obsessed with Trump and all this stuff, I say, you know, get off of that. The guy was an actor, the Trumpenstein Project. I've written about it. Read what I wrote about it. Clearly, he fooled a lot of people, and he was inserted in there to be our Goldstein, our Emmanuel Goldstein from 1984, fake opposition leader. And what he's done, what he did is he tapped into the emotions of almost every American. So that, I mean, there, you don't have those kind of the undecideds anymore out there. And that's all because of Trump. And you really don't have the independents anymore either, because Trump put everybody in these two, as Huey Long used to say, the high Papa Loam and low Papa Hayim. He put them in these fake category, Alex Jones used to call the fake left-right paradigm. Almost all America is back in that fake left-right paradigm, except for, you know, very few people like me that are Trump agnostics or, you know, are you know, outside that red-blue nonsense. Everybody else is locked into it, and it's all because of Trump. Trump single-handedly killed the independent movement, what we used to call the third-party movement, that would rise up every – and it was going to rise up inevitably again. So under Perot, it subsides for a while. But as things get worse and worse and worse, people are going to look outside this absurd establishment, you know, left-right paradigm, to try to find answers from somebody who isn't beholden to the system. And Trump looked like he might have been that person, because he, you know, of course he's part of the system because he's a billionaire, but he wasn't in Washington, D.C. So, okay, maybe it's possible. I thought, you know, it doesn't seem likely. I always thought the guy was really obnoxious, and he's not my idea of any kind of a populist. But, you know, maybe he saw the sausage being made. He didn't like it, and he figured, well, I've made enough money, and I'm gonna. That's what Roger Stone told me. He wants to try to do something for his grandkids. Well, obviously, that wasn't the case. But everybody took the bait with Trump, and everybody responded in what people were. You talk about divisive figures. I mean, I know what divisive is. I'm divisive, so I get a lot of love and hate. But Trump is the all-time Hall of Famer in that. I mean, people either – virtually everybody either hates or loves him. And that's the problem is everybody – and I think that's one of the reasons why we can't wake people up to the vaccine mandates and all this, because the people that have Trump derangement syndrome are still – they're by and large – buying into everything that Dr. Fauci, they you know, they think of Fauci as Trump's enemy, which is ridiculous. Trump kept him there, never fired him, did nothing. He just kind of tweeted against him here and there, which is what he did with everybody. And it was just a game. But people think that by supporting, it's almost like we're at war with this virus, which I think is, you know, obviously overblown. And somehow Trump is in the middle of this as well, even though he's no longer president. So nobody really talks about Biden in terms of the virus. I mean, there are people that still love Trump do, but it's become a case of, okay, if you're buying into this plandemic nonsense, you hate Trump, and it's kind of an outgrowth of that. Wear the mask. Oh, Trump killed people because he didn't have us wear a mask, and all the stuff, which is a lie. That's just not what happened. Trump never did. Trump's the one that signed the executive order that started all this. Trump could have easily ended it if he had actually talked, but Trump could have done so many things and he didn't do it. And now you have a situation where it's gone way beyond that. And Trump still, I mean, if you want to think Trump, I tell people all the time, you've got who knows how many people still in Washington, D.C. They're political prisoners since January 6th. Trump has said not one word about them after luring them to Washington, D.C. and he's responsible for them being in prison because they went there to listen to his dumbass talk, and you know, somehow like QAnon, I think they were fooled into thinking they were going to see he was going to introduce Hillary Clinton being walked across the stage in an orange jumpsuit. I think that's what most of them thought. I really do. And instead, he gave his usual absurd rally speech that was, you know, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. That's Trump. You know, Shakespeare described Trump centuries earlier. He was full of sound and fury. Always is full of sound and fury, and always signifies nothing. And then he makes the fake promise saying that I'll be let's march to the Capitol peacefully. And he did not urge them to commit any acts of violence. But he said, I'll be right there. I'll march there with you. So he goes back to the White House, disappears. Nobody sees him again. And then the minute any trouble erupts, he gets on. He makes a statement, comes on, and instantly throws everybody in the bus. And to this day, he has not said one word about the people that are still in prison, how reprehensible it is, people being in there without charges, many without bail, solitary confinement, alleged beatings, nothing like that. He's just recently started talking about Ashley Babbitt a few times and visited her family, but that's it. And again, if he's the opposition, he certainly would be talking about that. He's not the opposition, and if you go for him again – now, and not that he's – I don't think he has a chance to be reelected because, again, I think the voting is completely – if Trump's election proved that it was not an election, it was a selection. I said at the time that I can't believe that this guy got elected. Well, obviously I was naive too. They are selected. And I don't think Trump is going to be selected again because you know, there's a lot of people that, like Chuck says, he would go across the border. If Trump was installed back in office again, I don't know what the people that hate him would do. But they would just go berserk way more than they did before. But on the other side, you have what I coined the Trump enablement syndrome. And those are the people that still, in the midst of it all, I've seen on the conspiracy forums and when people say make the very accurate statement Trump did nothing. They'll list like 500 things. Oh, yeah, look at this list of accomplishments. And if you look, they're just – you talk about a nothing burger. None of them – you can't even tell. Like, what is he talking about? I mean, nothing. I mean, other than like the fake things about how many child sex traffickers or whatever he allegedly arrested. Really? Really? Jeffrey Epstein died under his watch. You know, I don't know of any – again, this is – show me who they were. But you have people on the other side who believe that Hillary Clinton has already been secretly tried in some courtroom somewhere. So that's what you're dealing with. You're dealing with madness on both sides, and it comes from Trump. And so I don't know how you can have an honest political discourse anymore. And that's why I struggle sometimes because it always comes around to him. And really at this point, people should recognize it for what it is, but he's not going away. But the problem is without Trump, there really is no opposition at all. I mean, I think he's a fake opposition, but at least in terms of rhetoric, he represents some kind of an opponent to the corrupt regime. And this woke regime that is in charge now is real. They're the real deal. And nothing they propose would shock me at this point. Because they do not believe in free speech. They absolutely do not believe in free speech. I mean, they want to cancel people over everything. They celebrate people being fired over things they said. I mean, look what just happened to John Gruden, the NFL coach. Again, I think the NFL is completely rigged, the most corrupt organization there is. But he's being canceled over, again, private emails that he had, some going back as far as 10 years or whatever. Same thing with the NBA owner. I certainly don't like any NBA owner, but you know he somehow survived. But he was, he came under all kinds of hot water for racist stuff he said to his non-white girlfriend, by the way. And he said it in his own home. Now, how many of you would like to have, Big Brother have recording devices in your house and be able to play back, years later, hey, see what this guy said here back then? I mean, a lot of us say things we wouldn't want people to hear in the privacy of our homes or in the privacy of our emails or when we're on the phone. And it's troubling. And this comes on the heels of the guy that was supposed to – I know nothing about it, but the guy that was supposed to become the new host of Jeopardy that was fired again for old emails. Some other show is cutting it. What? Someone else is cutting in here? Don's fading in and out. Some other show's coming on. Oh, really? The auto DJ comes in? Okay, I didn't know that. Oh. Peter Seacotch, my friend, is in there. Peter Seacotch did a great job helping with the cover, designing the cover for Unborrowed Fame. It's going to be beautiful when you see it. And Bob Wilson says, well, my friend Bob Wilson, thank you. And thanks. I gave you a shout out on air for hooking me up with Bart Sabrell, as you've done with so many other interesting people. Says, are you familiar with Michael Malice? He's the author who writes about North Korea and the disintegration of traditional American culture. I am not, but you leave it to somebody in North Korea, because certainly nobody in America is writing about the disintegration of American culture. Cabot also ruled in favor of the CIA against morally right. Yes, he was also bad on the JFK assassination. Of course, we know Trump was going to release the files, right? It's just everything he did, you know. But most of what he said was going against the establishment. It looks like, hey, this guy's, you know, and they all hate him, man. The right, he had the right enemies, but that's all he had. Chuck says, I hate Trump, and I'm not dumb enough to think we have anything other than one party system. Absolutely, and Trump, but it's now it's an entrenched. One, it's an entrenched duopoly, and now it's most of the arguments are over his stupid personality. We're going to have to separate, Jay says. You know, well, I think secession is the only answer. What people talking about the other day, but you know, a much less powerful federal government in 1860 basically said, you know what, you try that, we're going to go to war, and we're going to kill, you know, close to a million people if you try that. I don't think it would happen peacefully, and I don't know how you separate, because you can't. It's not like, you know, Wyoming doesn't have, you know, liberals there, or Florida or Texas or whatever. I don't know how you would do it. You'd have to, like, be able to pick and, oh, here's a safe haven for people or whatever. I don't know how you do that, because then you're uprooting other people. It's not an easy solution. But the solution is for people to respect the opinions of others. But that's just not the case anymore in America. Let's see, or his grandkids will be all right. Yeah, well, yeah, that's true, absolutely true. But you know, that's the line. Do sociopaths pass care about grandkids? Well, yeah, and I don't know. It's a good question, and that's true. I mean, I guess, you know, that's when he says that, I guess it's speaking maybe philosophically. But yeah, you're right. Although, you know, if everything collapses, I don't know. But let's see. I guess everyone caught up or served time in a profit prison system as a political prisoner. Yeah, I mean, we've already got more prisoners than the world has ever seen. And, you know, those FEMA camps are there for some reason. I you know, that's become my new talking point, that all my great cyber friends that I've talked to and communicate with, that I value very much, that I've never met in person, I'd love to meet you guys someday, but I don't want it to be in a FEMA prison. And I'm afraid it could be, you know. I think he's in for 20. So you think? You think Trump's in? Well, yeah. I mean, I'm not going to bet. I mean, it looks like he's going to run, but I don't know. I just find politics after Trump, I find it boring at this point, because there's no good guys. Every time you think somebody might, okay, maybe this guy has a little bit of promise, then they do something horrible, and it's. There's nobody there. I'm looking at the school boards and the parents there, and maybe they can make some inroads at the bottom of the system. I don't know. They're fighting them tooth and nail there, too. Let's see. Is Biden just some guy in a mask? Yeah, I don't know what the hell Biden is. They'll bring back Hitler. Yeah, Chuck says, I keep getting messages about him deepfake. Yeah, there are people out there that think it's a different Trump. Yeah, I mean, you know, it goes back to Jimmy Carter. Dr. Peter Beter, way back when, thought Jimmy Carter had been replaced by a clone because he was suddenly parting his hair on the other side. I mean, you know, that's the problem, is our conspiracy world is full of people that are easily discreditable. You're welcome, Pete. Absolutely. I can't wait for people to see the cover either. It's going to be nasty. There will be some collateral damage. Yeah, well, I mean, I don't, you know, I just don't know. I don't think you can have a civil war without people willing to fight. And I do value you, Jay, absolutely. That's right. Pete wants to meet someday, too, not in the front of Cuban camp. Absolutely. And I think, you know, at this point, though, I don't know. There's, you know, it's. We are headed, if people don't see any, we're not that far removed from, you know, the civil rights movement, and much closer to apartheid in South Africa. And of course, people rejoiced when those systems were overthrown. The left certainly rejoiced. And they don't realize, they don't seem to see any sense of irony in how they're proposing, or they're very close to proposing a new kind of apartheid, a new kind of Jim Crow. Because, you know, I said, I don't think the left would blink at all if they said, well, you know what? We're going to have, you know, separate bathrooms and say unvaccinated only. I mean, I don't think the left would blink at all. And I can see, you know, they're already kind of saying you got to have your vaccinated to be, you know, no unvaccinated welcome in stores and restaurants. And again, then we come full circle, don't we? Because the entire premise of the civil rights movement was that businesses didn't have a right to refuse service to certain types of people. But apparently now they do, as long as it's the new type of people. Chuck says, this is still the beta test phase, I think. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't know how long it's going to go, but Australian Ben, I don't know if he's still in the chat room, but he certainly would know best, but look at that as an example. And I think America is not that far from Victoria, Australia at this point, but if you look at what's happening there, where you literally have the police coming to people's homes and arresting them for Facebook posts, or in one case, a guy I saw was... they had a video of him where the police came up and said he wasn't supposed to be where he was at. He didn't have a reason to be there. He's not in public. I mean, this is very dangerous, that situation we're treading on. But again, that woke left, I should be, but I can't be on that left. It's madness. They are embracing this. Chuck says Max Eigen will be live with me on my show up next. Cool. And that's the thing, is that nobody is opposing this. Trump sure isn't, but he's still looked at as the opponent. And it's just not there. And, RFK Jr., to a large degree is, but he's certainly been demonized. And I think he is probably the best hope we have, but unfortunately RFK Jr. has that hereditary disorder that he got from his grandmother, Rose Kennedy, where he kind of speaks in a hoarse, almost above a whisper, and it's a certain he would be ridiculed. I mean, they're looking for anything to ridicule him, because and they already do. But if he actually attempted to get out there and he couldn't, he obviously couldn't hide that kind of speech defect. You could get this stupid Saturday Night Live would be, you know, basically a government produced show at this point. They would be ridiculing him nonstop. South Park probably would. South Park, jumped the shark with their absurd vaccine shows. So I think he's really the only person that, because of the Kennedy name, might possibly do that. But I don't know how many of those, because most of the people going against this are still conservative to whatever degree, whatever that means. They're supporters of Trump. I think a lot of them would just reject him because he's a Kennedy. So I don't think he could get – and I don't think many people on the left would embrace him because he's a Kennedy. We gave the number. Yes, Ben, it's the number is – I'd love to hear from you. Where is the number, Chuck? I got to scroll way back. We've got a lot of comments. 319-527-5016. 319-527-5016.
But since Ben is calling from Australia, if he would like, you can reach out to me, Charles.Ocelli, on Skype, and I will call him into the show. And that way he doesn't have to pay to do it.
Yes, man. Yeah, because that's going to be prohibitive. Like, go through Skype and it's free. So if you can figure out how to do that, that's great. But and Ben was supposed to be on my other show last week to talk about what he's experiencing in Australia. But we technical difficulties over there at TFR, which happens way too much. And weren't able to pull it off. But unfortunately, that's the direction we're trending. And I don't want that for America. But so much of what we're seeing with the plandemic, the vaccine mandates, the absolute disregard for civil liberties, people not supporting free speech anymore, people celebrating people getting fired. I've said that I don't care what they're fired for. It doesn't matter. Well, they're pretty much all fired for saying things that, you know, that are considered racist or homophobic or something. But it doesn't matter what. If it was the other side, you can't cancel people based on their views in private life. You either have free speech or you don't. Bring him on here, Don. I'll get it to. Oh, cool. Okay. How do I do it? Let's see. See if I can find. I do have his Skype. Let's see. Ben, do you hear? If I can find it here. Sorry, I had to try to find it during. There's Australian. Where is it? Sorry. Skype. Oh, there's Australians, Ben. Here it is. Okay. Let me drop this into... Okay, I'm sharing contact with you. There you go, Chuck. There's Australian Ben's contact. I don't know what is that. What I have to need to do?
Yeah, just continue on. I'll see if I can.
Okay, gotcha. Okay, gotcha. Okay, but oh, it says Australian. He said, "Sorry, I tried calling you, but wrong number." Oh, okay. I don't know. Well, anyway, we're kind of near the end of the show, anyhow. But not hearing from, was it Jimmy Jean or whatever, the guy that usually calls in every day? I don't see him in the chat room either, Citizen Jakes. Hope you're okay out there. But so, yeah, that's where we're in. I think that it's amazing how few people, when I post these things where I posted about Gruden and other things I posted in the past, because, again, it's considered, okay, I'll check Skype on. Okay, hold on, let me see. Okay, I don't know. What am I supposed to do, Chuck? I don't see anything new on Skype. I gave you his contact.
No, not you. I was trying to tell Ben.
okay.
I'm trying to tell Ben. I'm trying to do this smooth so we don't have to do it on air. Anyway, okay. No, it's okay. Just continue on. I'll try and get him.
Okay, that's fine. But you know, people don't. It's, you know, when you celebrate, and that's what the civil libertarian means. It means that you respect other views and you support their right to say it. Like, you know how long I've been researching the JFK assassination. I think you have to be brain dead, or you couldn't have studied the evidence at all, or you have to have an ulterior motive to still believe Lee Harvey Oswald killed Kennedy. But I don't want you fired for saying it. I don't want you canceled. And I will defend your right to say that. And or whatever. I mean, if you you know, the people that think 19 crazed Arabs are killed, you know, I believe that people think that, you know, terrorists are everywhere, and we're at war with terror again. That's your view. I mean, of course, I don't agree with it. I think you're just, you know, have absorbed too much brainwashing. But you have to give people the right. If people want to, you know, go around and say, you know, the grass is actually purple, you know, the sky is multicolored, whatever.
Don, you should have Ben on now with your last 5 minutes.
Okay, Ben, you're there.
G'day, Donald.
Hey, Ben, nice to talk to you again. Live from the land down under.
This is amazing, the wonders of modern technology. Thanks, Chuck. Yes. That was unbelievable, mate.
Great. Well, it's great to have. So first of all, thanks for shining the show. Thanks for jumping in the chat room and now hearing from you. So since we tried to talk last week, how are things in Australia? Are the good guys fighting back at all? Do they have any hope of overturning this tyranny there?
Any hope of fighting it back is a bit like hoping for Donald Trump to come back in 2024 and save the day. I think if I'm sober about it, I have to recognize that the New World Order is marching full steam ahead. And Australia is pretty much the kickoff point of that. And the government hasn't slowed down, to answer your question. Hasn't slowed down. They're enforcing the vaccine mandates. And just this week, states have decided that businesses have the right to protect themselves from COVID. So those businesses have the right to restrict people who are unvaccinated from attending their businesses. And that may even be your employer, Donald. So not only will you be restricted from public transport, travel, holidays, school, hospital, cinemas, shopping centres, etc. Now, if you wish to go to a cafe or to Woolworths or to your supermarket to get your groceries, it's getting to that point. It's a difficult situation because it's coming to a head, and it's basically the imposition of a virtual Berlin Wall. And people don't like that terminology, but that's what I call it, because produce your papers, but you don't have them in your pocket. You're meant to have them on your smartphone. And if you don't have a smartphone here in Australia right now that the government can track and trace you with, forget about it. So, yeah, things are accelerating pretty quickly, actually.
Well, how are you doing as far as Are you working? And what's your, I mean, how is your employer? Because I assume you have mandates for all employers there.
Yeah, I'm a bit lucky. I'm almost like, although I live in the Gold Coast, just up the road from Max Egan, I'm self-employed, and I have my freedom. My life really hasn't changed because, good, to me, it's very alien what's going on, Donald. I see it for what it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've read Animal Farm recently. I read 1984. I've read Brave New World. We've seen all these things taking place, mate. So it's very difficult to become a cheerleader for it here in Australia when you understand how deceptive it really is. So I prefer not to really be involved in it whatsoever. I just observe it, mate. And I think the people that are opposed to it, the best way we have dealt with it is just by observing it. If we try to voice our opinions in opposition to it or question the official narrative or the whether or not the vaccine mandate's actually valid for every single person,
yeah.
All it does is render judgment from people. It renders ridicule and scorn, and you're most likely terminated from social media and or terminated from your employer. So it's at that situation. People are biting their own tongues.
How about your? I think I don't know if I asked you this or not, but how's your family as far as are any of them? I might have asked you this, but are they all buying it or any of them supporting you?
My mother's senior citizen, so with her, yeah. I converse with her about the joys of life.
Yeah,
I don't discuss this with her whatsoever. There's an entire generation, Donald, that they read one newspaper, they watched three television stations, and they heard right. it from the man on the news at 6 o'clock for 35 years.
Right.
Some years ago, I gave up trying to convince those people. You know, they believe Lee Harvey Oswald blew off JFK's head. So,
right.
They believe NASA sent people to the moon.
Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah.
We're in a different paradigm almost, in a belief right. system. And I think that governs our ideology as well and governs our insights and the way we look at the world. So with my family, I just try to support them when I can, encourage them to be aware of what's going on. And perhaps with my siblings, I just try to every now and then mention that there are some ill effects to going along with this, and history certainly teaches us that.
Well, okay. Well, it's an uphill battle. Jay in the chat room is full of lots of violent advice for you. He wants you to start slicing throats over there and quick jabs in the balls and sharp shooting with a slingshot and ball bearing. So he's got lots of advice for you over there. I didn't want to mess with Jay over here, I tell you. He's...
Hey, Donald, yeah. we are the home of Mad Max. We do have Wolverine. We do have Thor. We do have Gladiator. You know, we're a tough, resilient, strong people.
Yeah.
But we've become so politically apathetic because of our luxurious lifestyles, you would say. It's a fairly carefree existence in Australia, has been for multiple generations now. And I think people have been lulled into a sense of false security.
Yeah,
And they never believe that the government would dare do anything which would impede on their freedoms long term. And everything's under the guise of, well, government is daddy and government just loves you and they just want to help. And right. anyone that has faith in anything other than government, and by doing so you actually have faith in God in place of government, the government doesn't like that rhetoric whatsoever, so they have to crush people. Now, in regards to waging a violent attack back on the government, a bit like in your country, I think individually the best thing we all could do, if possible, is, you know, remove ourselves from urban areas and become self-sufficient in regional areas, and hopefully that's the way to get through.
Well, that's great, but we're just about out of time, Ben. I appreciate you calling from Australia. And we're going to talk again soon. I appreciate your support, and good luck to you there. And you know, good luck to everybody. I hope it doesn't that we don't go quite down the same path you do. But we're just about out of time now. And so I thank very much everyone who listened. Get Bart Sabrell's book, and keep fighting the fight. Keep sending forth those tiny ripples of hope, because that's about all we can do at this point. And Chuck, I'm not hearing the music again. Am I supposed to be hearing it? There you go. Okay. Thanks again. Thanks so much for listening to the Donald Jeffrey Show.